The law of mom. Can I get an amen from the ladies? And it applies to everybody in this room. Now, Mother's Day has a history. You probably know some of it. It became official under good old President Woodrow Wilson back in 1914. But trying to just recognize the importance of mother on society, that's something I think we miss. Quite frankly, the nuclear family and the importance of mothers and fathers, of course, in family. That comes from a Judeo-Christian tradition, just throughout Scripture, the honoring of mothers. So, for example, Solomon, in his earlier days when he was wise, before he got all the porcupines and concubines and wives, mothers-in-law, but Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne, and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. In that culture, Solomon recognizing a wise son, but the importance of a mother. In Paul, in Paul's letter to Timothy, you know about Timothy's just challenging young Timothy that as a yet beloved son, that I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. And also talking about Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And then in 2 Timothy 3, but now you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, grandmother and mother, and that from childhood of you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so just the wisdom of being raised up with godly mothers. And in our situations, obviously fathers are important in the family, but sometimes it is mothers who need to fill a role, maybe that a father is gone, or also the complementing of raising kids. And I know my mother, she was my Sunday school teacher growing up in the United Methodist Church. And so learning Scripture and just God's Word and all those things that God's Word is important for. So mothers are important. But more importantly, it's the law. The law. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I like that. You honor your mother or your days may not be long. But it's also the wise choice. In fact, in Proverbs, a lot of written by Solomon during his wise days, the Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Men, any of us griefs to our mother? We all had our moments, I'm sure. But along with not only is it the law, but wisdom, just here's a few sort of humorous things, but a mother's dictionary of meaning. So just see if some of these identify. A dumbwaiter, you know what a dumbwaiter is for raising food up to? A dumbwaiter, one who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. That's a dumbwaiter. Feedback, the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots. Feedback. A full name, what you call your child when you're mad at him. How many of you got that? You got all three names, whatever. Grandparents. The people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Hearsay. Hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. They hear it and they let everybody know. Hey, guess what mommy said earlier? Independent. How we want our children to be for as long as they do everything we say. Puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Show off, a child who is more talented than yours. Remember, I told you the story about Mikey Knighty. When I was a little kid, my folks thought I was so smart, but Mikey Knighty, when we were one or two, Mikey, where's the sky? And Mikey would point up, and Mom would go, Dieter, where's the sky? And I'd be going, They were so disappointed with me. I hope you're listening to this, Mom. Sterilize what you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. The top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing Superman jammies. The 2-minute warning, when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. And whodunit? Whodunit? And Agatha Christie, whodunit? None of the kids that live in your house. So anyway, definitions mothers put up with. But godly mothers can provide much wisdom is our big idea. And so if you have your Bibles, you want to turn. Proverbs speaks a lot about this. A couple verses just to share the what wisdom is. And Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. A little bit of a first 7 verses set us up for what Proverbs are. Wisdom and understanding is going to be the key and theme of the book. But in verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 1, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. And so the charge, the admonition, the charge, listen. Listen to your parents. Of course, fathers are mentioned. The instruction, which we saw that verse earlier, but that's the purpose and the key of Proverbs, to wisdom and instruction. Obviously, fathers are involved. But then the law, that's where we get our word, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. But the law, the teaching, we might say, especially in the church, some of us grew up in denominations that had catechism to teach children. That's what mothers do, and it's wise to listen to that law. One of the great biblical Old Testament scholars, one of my favorites, Bruce Waltke, said, when the moral fiber of a nation is not formed by this sort of catechesis, catechism, teaching, society unravels and anarchy ensues. So recognizing the importance of father, yes, but mothers today, the instruction, the catechism, the instructing at home, parents are the primary teachers for children. And society, the family being the building block of all cultures that have survived throughout history, that's so mom's law is tied to that, and anarchy ensues sometimes in a family life. And you turn on the news, and unfortunately, a lot of the bad stuff that happens, you just know that a lot of times these young folks have not had that type of training and law of mother, and if the father's even around, no instruction. So that's the charge, if you will, the command. Well, what is the reason? I like that. Graceful ornaments or garlands or wreaths. Back in the old times, the ancient Near East, these represented things like victory, vindication, power, life, prestige, status. So wise living represented by graceful ornaments, and then chains or pendants of guidance and protection that comes from a godly upbringing, like we read in Proverbs 31, a godly wife and mother are important for that training. So that's a good reason, as God says. And then in this section of Proverbs, the context is this wisdom, this instruction is guarding against, believe it or not, you'll never believe this, but the world's, the sin, the sinners, the enticers of the world. And so how many of us, maybe us, with the wayward children, or kids that led astray by the siren call of the world, that is one of the reasons we have Proverbs, and particularly listening to the law of mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother. And then a couple chapters over, like I said, there's so many verses, but Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. And there's a bunch of sections if you wanted to break this up, but it starts with my son. And we could say children, my children. But my son, verse 20, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so once again, the charge, continually, bind them continually, listening to mothers. And you know, as we grow up, different stages in life, parents have different roles. But even for those of us that have mothers still alive, I can still learn things from my parents. You know, this old and fuddy duddy, they've gotten smarter as I've gotten older. When I was a teenager, they were idiots. But now they're getting smarter again. But we can always listen to godly parents. And so that continually response, and I like that, bind them continually around your neck. You better listen or they'll be bound around your neck with your father's hands around taking care of. And what's the motivation? Why? Well, those ideas of leading, guidance. And I know my mother, and I suspect, and that's sort of the challenge for maybe us as we could even share her in a second, the guidance of what mothers provided. Keeping, protection. Some of the things that mothers, just because they've lived longer, they have wisdom, that they help us avoid snares that we in the wisdom of youth might not recognize. And then the idea of speaking, instructing at night, which is much greater than we all have consciences, but our consciences are tainted by sin. And so actual instruction of God's word, instruction of a godly mother is more important and more profitable than that. And so the explanation then why, for what? They are a lamp and a light. Think of that, a lamp and a light illuminating lives and our paths, illuminating right and wrong. Once again, that type of instruction we as children need. Our culture needs it, because if it doesn't start in the home, it's stunted. And it affects not only the family unit, but culture, the church as well. And in this context, it's talking about mothers guarding against seductresses. You know, the just sexual stuff is out there. So just directly, that's very practical. But the idea of guarding against sexual seduction that is way too prevalent back in Solomon's day, but also in our day as well. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Anybody have a law from their mother that you remember, wisdom that you you can think back and once again, maybe your mother was absent. Maybe you grew up, you know, in a single parent home. What, or even a bad mother. But we can learn positive things from negative examples. So anybody want to share something? I don't pass the microphone very often, but I figure in this group, you know, anybody in here not have a mother? You know, that we've all had mothers. Anybody? You know, I'll start. Just a simple thing. You know, like I said, grew up my mom. Where'd she go? The woman in this room is the greatest mother, Georgia. But my mom growing up was my Sunday school teacher. But one of the things I remember, the cousins. And I had three cousins my age or older. So there are four boys growing up. We'd spend the summers up in Wisconsin, where we'll be going up there this summer and spending some time on Lake Michigan. And of course, growing boys, we like to eat. And you guys won't believe this about me, but I like bacon. And so we would have, and back in the day, it was pretty expensive, and boys can eat a lot of bacon. And so my mom would watch my cousins, and of course us growing up there, and she'd do bacon for breakfast. Well, there was always, if there was a piece or two left over, the wisdom of mom, how are we going to decide who gets that piece of bacon? Any of you ever heard of horsengoggling? We would horse and goggle it off, where it was basically a, you know, one, two, three, and you'd put up fingers and you'd count. So it was a very objective, dispassionate way to divvy up the bacon. The law of Marianne, my mother. So even in a simple thing like that, being able to keep fist fights from ensuing over the bacon. So, and I've seen that happen here. So anybody else remember anything? Trudy, yes. And your mom did that. Yeah. And what an important reliability, because there's so much skepticism and lack of trust. If I can't trust my parents, who can I trust? So, good. Ooh, the young man back there. David.
Shockingly, you might find this surprising of me, but I like to eat.
Would you say there's green vegetables as part of your diet? Yeah, Georgia, and actually in Georgia does that with the two immature boys in the family. We just want pizza. Can we just have pizza? But Georgia makes well-balanced meals, so we have it. So, John, yes, sir. Yeah, you know, and because when you're a teenager, the whole world is right now in a little bit of a perspective longer term. So very good. Anyone? Yeah, Laura.
One of my mother's best sayings, and she had many, was after the rain comes the rainbow, meaning that it will get better down the line.
Very good, very good. And I wish Mom were here today. That's when she gets to come. So, others. Yeah, Sheila.
My mother always said, if you can't say anything nice, I'll say anything nice.
Very good. Then I'd never talk. So, very good. Sue, would you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Sue.
You know, I don't remember the exact saying, but she led by example. She worked really, really hard, and she made me work really, really hard, too.
Your diligence and that, and once again, putting your nose to the grindstone and actually achieving something instead of getting it. Bill, you never had a mother. Come on now. No, Bill, go ahead.
My mother would stick her finger at you and she'd call you, little pup.
Little pup. A lesson was about to ensue. Darlene, yeah.
This is humorous. My mother was a stepmother. My first mother passed away. And he and I were probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. Mama just wore the clothes and hung them on the clothesline. And she said, now don't go swinging.
You know, how many of us, your kids, maybe not you, you perfect children, you know, don't do this. Well, that's a challenge. That now becomes not a prohibition. That becomes a challenge to go swing on the clothesline. So, very good. Kate, yeah. How many of us are that? The argument to end all arguments. Well, why? Because I said so. All right. Good enough. So, anybody else? Nancy. When in doubt, tell the truth. When in doubt, tell the truth. Well, that was some of my training in military, guys. If you had to go through any types of training where you have sort of survival, evasion, resistance, you know, one of the things is, okay, you've been captured and you've got military secrets. You want to keep the story as close to the truth as you can, because if you start lying, how do you remember all the lies? And I'm sure some of us, our mothers caught us when we started changing our story. If you keep to the truth, you only have to remember one story. So, is it Sharon, what did you have? That's right. So, anybody else? Well, I'm sure we all have fond memories and maybe some not so fond, but a lot of who we are is obviously shaped primarily as Christians and shaped by the Holy Spirit, hopefully. But God, the Holy Spirit, uses mom and dad to help us learn lessons that have helped us in life and be the fine, upstanding people that we are. So the law of mom, biblical examples, you know, Solomon, of course, writing, I believe, these proverbs here that sharing the importance of a mother's teaching. Do not forsake the law of your mother. And a couple final verses in Leviticus 19. So once again, back to the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Part of, you know, the law for Israel. Well, these are types of things that we can apply in our day. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Revere your mother and your father. Like I read from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus 20, the Big Ten. In fact, when we start back into the Ten Commandments next fall, that's where we'll pick up. Honor your mother and father. Folks, that is something, a gift from God. We as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we've got a lot of wisdom in this room. And it behooves us snot-nosed kids to listen to that. Because, you know, when I get a little uppity and Nancy grabs my ear, I know I'm in trouble, so... Proverbs 31, the end of 30, that I read, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, you who fear the Lord, we praise you, we honor you today, and so thank you for being mothers. Do not forsake the law of your mother, or else. Anyway, let's stand, we'll sing our...